Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. I feel like I'm constantly reminding myself that we are all carrying around different stressors, big and small. But when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. And naturally, that can start to affect everything else around us, too. Therapy can be a safe place to get things off your chest and figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. I know that therapy isn't for everyone, but it definitely has benefited me in the past with learning how to sit with my feelings, set boundaries with people, and I don't know, learn how to function with a little less shame. But if you are thinking of starting therapy and access has been hard for you, maybe BetterHelp is the right fit. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient. You can get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/makeyourbed today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/makeyourbed. Good morning, sunshine. Welcome to another day of the Make Your Damn Bed podcast. We've been cruising right through our deep dive on The Artist's Way, a self-help book and creative program written by Julia Cameron. And this week, we're jumping into week 5. Recovering a sense of possibility. She says, this week you're being asked to examine your payoffs in remaining stuck. You will explore how you curtail your own possibilities by placing limits on the good you can receive. You will examine the cost of settling for appearing good instead of being authentic. You may find yourself thinking about radical changes, no longer ruling out your own growth by making others the cause of your constriction. She starts the chapter by talking about limits, and she really digs into our self-imposed limiting beliefs here. When we get a call to create, we might think that it's crazy or impossible or we're not good enough. She reminds us that we should think about our creativity and our possibility like an unlimited bank account. And instead of rejecting all of the free money and loans that we're being offered, we should invest with them. She doesn't say it exactly like that, but I feel like my metaphor works. She does leave us with this one quote that I really enjoy about opening yourself up to possibility, which is, pray to catch the bus and then run as fast as you can. And I adore this idea. The idea that we have some control for sure, but we should also have some faith. They're not mutually exclusive. The problem is that most of us don't believe we're destined or allowed to catch the bus. And this often leads to self-sabotage. And it always comes back to scarcity thinking. We don't want our luck to run out. We don't want to overspend our spiritual abundance. But by doing this, we are limiting our flow. She uses God here, but you can use the universe or spirit or the world, honestly, to say, God has lots of money. God has lots of movie ideas, novel ideas, poems, songs, paintings, acting jobs. God has this supply of loves and friends and houses that are all available to us. Mind you, this was written in the 90s, when home ownership was still a thing that God believed in, apparently. Anyway, moving on. The point is, when we believe that it is limitless and that the source is limitless, we start to head down the right path, and that path will lead us to friends and lovers and money and meaningful work. She says this, "We must learn to let flow manifest itself where it will, not where we will it." Skipping ahead, she also says, "The desire to be worldly, sophisticated, and smart often blocks our flow. We have ideas and opinions about where our good should come from." And with this, she says that creativity becomes a spiritual issue. Any and all progress is made by leaps of faith, some small and some large. At first, we may want faith to take the first dance class, the first step towards learning a new medium. Later, we may want faith and funds for further classes, seminars, a better workspace, a year sabbatical. Later still, we may conceive an idea for a book, an artist collective gallery space. As each idea comes to us, we must, in good faith, clear away our inner barriers to acting on it, and then, on an outer level, take the concrete steps necessary to trigger our synchronous good. If this still sounds airy-fairy to you, she says, ask yourself bluntly, what next step are you evading? What dream are you discounting as impossible, given your resources? And what payoff are you getting for remaining stuck at this point in your expansion? She uses God as her source as a simple but completely effective plan for living. It removes a negative dependency and anxiety because of the assurance that God will and can and wants to provide. Our job, she says, is to listen for how. This is, again, another place she pushes the morning pages for an attempt to listen to the how, to figure out the how, so we can effectively list areas in which we might need guidance or less negative self-talk and resistance. But we need to remember that we have to stay open to any and all help in whatever form it takes. She goes on to say that the shift to spiritual dependency is a gradual one. We've been making this shift slowly and surely, but when every single day you focus on becoming a little more true to yourself, a little more open to the positive, we might notice that it helps us in every aspect, including our human relationships. By being able to tell more of our truth, we become more receptive to hearing others' truth. And with that, we can encompass a more kindly and respectable attitude towards both. We become less judgmental of both ourselves and others. And it reminds us that sometimes our deep-seated views are short-sighted, and that our opinions are just that. And that does not mean they are fixed. We can change them with time and gentleness. She says, and I quote, "We see that our moods, views, and insights are transitory. We acquire a sense of movement, a current of change in our lives. This current or river is a flow of grace, moving us to our right livelihood, companions, and destiny. When we free ourselves from a terrible fear of abandonment, we're able to live with more spontaneity and more connection so that we're not leading with that fear and actually become less burdened by it. It's really paradoxical the way our fears work. But by freeing us from the constant demand for more and more reassurance, our fellow friends and lovers are able to show us that connection and love without feeling so burdened, which naturally eases the fear of abandonment. The point is, we are trying to build an internal safe space for both our inner child, our inner artist, and ourselves." And in reminding us that this is difficult work, she says, "We tend to believe we must go out and shake a few trees to make things happen. I would not deny that shaking a few trees is good for us. In fact, I believe it's necessary. I call it doing the footwork. I want to say, however, that while the footwork is necessary, I have seldom seen it pay off in a linear fashion. It seems to work more like when we shake the apple tree, the universe delivers oranges." She says, "Time and time again, I have seen a recovering creative do the footwork of becoming internally clear and focused about their dreams and delights, take a few outward steps in the direction of that dream, only to have the universe fling open an unsuspected door. One of the central tasks of creative recovery is learning to accept that generosity. The next little section in the Recovering a Sense of Possibility chapter is about the virtue trap. She says, an artist must have downtime, time to do nothing. Defending our right to such time takes courage, conviction, and resiliency. Such time, space, and quiet will strike our family and friends as a withdrawal from them. It is. Without withdrawal, the artist in us feels vexed and angry and out of sorts. If the deprivation continues, they might become sullen and depressed and hostile. An artist requires the upkeep of creative solitude. An artist requires the healing of time alone. Without a period of recharging, our artists become depleted. She says that many recovering creatives sabotage themselves most frequently by making nice. There is a tremendous cost to such virtue. Many of us have made virtue out of deprivation. We've embraced a long-suffering artistic anorexia as a martyr's cross. We've used it to feed a false sense of spirituality, grounded in being good or feeling superior. But it is a false sense of security. It's a virtue trap. For an artist, virtue can be deadly. The urge towards respectability and maturity can be stultifying, even fatal. The real rub with this virtue trap is that because it feels and looks virtuous to the world, it does not feel alarming at first. And to me, it makes sense. Our inner artists and more spiritual needs are invisible to the naked eye. But everyone else's needs, including our own external needs, are not invisible. So if we prioritize everyone else over ourselves, that can appear to look good to the naked eye. It feels virtuous, it looks virtuous, and you're doing good. It's obvious. Whereas making private time to be creative doesn't appear to be so beneficial, at least upon first glance, because it is invisible. But the benefits are not. Tomorrow, I'll jump a little bit more into this virtue trap before giving the tasks for this week. In the meantime, I love you so much. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and I'll talk to you tomorrow while you make your damn bed. Goodbye, beautiful.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.